Picture this scene for a second. It's the night of March 9th, 2026.
Okay.
You've got a 65-year-old man standing at a telescope. He's looking out at the Vale Nebula, capturing light that's traveled thousands of light years just to reach his lens.
Right, a very quiet, peaceful image.
Exactly. And he takes a photo, posts it online, but the caption is just surprisingly understated. He just casually announces that he started a new company, raised $1.03 billion in seed funding, and oh yeah, they're hiring.
Just dropping a billion-dollar announcement on a random night.
Yeah, casual, right? Welcome to this deep dive. Today we are exploring chapter 14, titled The Machine That Sees the World, from the book Part 5, A Different Path, 2023 to 2026.
And that man at the telescope, just for everyone listening, is Jan LeCun, one of the undisputed godfathers of AI.
In his quiet little post, it essentially represented an earthquake in the tech
Oh,
world.
an absolute earthquake. I mean, for you listening, the stakes here are just immense. You are witnessing a massive schism in real time.
Because right now, pretty much every major tech giant is pouring, what, billions of dollars into making chatbots talk better?
Right, they are completely obsessed with scaling up Llama and other language models. But LeCun, he believes this entire industry is running headfirst down a dead end.
Which is a bold claim. So we're going to unpack his alternative vision today. This idea of a machine that doesn't just parrot human language, but actually observes, anticipates, and, well, understands the physical laws of the universe.
It's a huge pivot. And to really understand this billion-dollar bet, we first have to look at what LeCun walked away from.
Right, the clash that pushed him out the door.
Exactly. So back in late 2025, Meta fundamentally shifted its focus. They pivoted super hard toward product-focused scaling.
They just wanted to make their language models commercially viable, like as fast as possible.
Yes, and they brought in this 28-year-old, Alexander Wang, to lead their superintelligence research. And in doing that, they basically absorbed FAIR.
Which is the Fundamental AI Research Lab, the one LeCun spent 12 years building.
Yeah, his life's work at the company. And for a researcher like him, whose whole career relies on open-ended scientific inquiry, not just immediate product utility.
That's a deal breaker.
Total deal breaker. He absolutely refused to be dictated to, about his research direction. So by January 2026, he officially leaves his role at Meta.
Though he did keep his professorship at NYU, right?
Right, and he maintains some collaborative ties, but he heads to Paris and founds AMI Labs, Advanced Machine Intelligence Labs.
But I love this detail. Notice the missing letter there.
The G.
Right? The G. The whole industry is so obsessed with AGI, artificial general intelligence, but he purposely drops the general.
Because he thinks a universal human-level intelligence is just a flawed, mythical concept. It doesn't exist.
And clearly, the market agreed with his philosophy. I mean, AMI Labs raised 890 million euros. That's about $1.03 billion in a seed round.
From some massive heavyweights, too. Jeff Bezos, NVIDIA, Samsung, Tim Berners-Lee, the guy who created the World Wide Web.
That's wild. And they weren't even investing in a finished product, right? They were investing in his direction.
Exactly. They were backing his belief in open science. This whole idea that AI foundations should be a public commons, not locked away in some corporate castle tower.
It kind of reminds me of an architect, like a legendary master architect working for a massive construction firm.
Oh, I like that.
Right. And the firm is like, hey, we just want to build identical, super profitable strip malls. But the architect is like, no, I want to invent a completely new physics-ifying skyscraper.
So he just quits to go build it himself.
Exactly. But here's my question, and I think a lot of people listening might be wondering this too. He's living behind tens of thousands of computer chips at Meta. He's leaving endless budgets.
Right.
By starting over with just $1 billion, which I know sounds crazy to say just a billion, but compared to big tech, it's tiny. Isn't he guaranteeing he's going to lose the compute race?
Well, that's the thing. He isn't trying to win a money war. That's not the goal. LeCun's logic is that he's trying to prove that if your actual method is right, you just don't need infinite compute.
Okay, so it's an efficiency thing.
Yeah, he uses a house cat to explain this, actually. Think about a cat. It only has about 800 million neurons.
Which is nothing compared to an AI model.
Right, current AI models have hundreds of billions of parameters. But a cat understands physical reality perfectly. It can navigate a room, judge a jump, anticipate a mouse moving.
While the massive AI model fundamentally understands nothing about gravity.
Exactly. So his point is, why keep pouring infinite computing power into a flawed architecture? It's just a waste.
So if infinite computing power isn't the answer, What exactly is breaking down when these models try to learn the real world? Like,
Yeah.
what is the technical flaw here?
Okay, so this brings us to the dropping pin thought experiment. It perfectly captures what LeCun sees wrong with current AI.
Let's hear it.
Imagine you're holding a pen upright on your desk and you just let it go.
Ra.
And with absolute certainty, it's going to fall.
Right, gravity, it has to fall.
But you cannot predict exactly which micro direction it will roll once it hits the desk. It might go slightly left, slightly right. It depends on invisible variables, right? Like a tiny breeze or the microscopic texture of the wood.
So the outcome is predictable, but the exact visual specifics aren't.
Precisely. Now, when you ask current generative video models like OpenAI's Sora or Google's Genie to predict this, they try to generate the future pixel by pixel.
Literally trying to draw every tiny dot of the frame.
Yes. And when forced to predict that unpredictable pen drop, the AI panics. It hedges its bets. It essentially averages out all the possibilities of where the pen could go.
Which results in what? Just a blurry mess?
Exactly. You get this ghost-like smudge spreading everywhere. It wastes immense compute trying to draw the background wallpaper and the desk
Yeah.
texture perfectly instead of just learning the concept of gravity.
It's obsessing over the noise, not the signal.
Yes. So LeCun's solution is JEPA, the Joint Embedding Predictive Architecture.
GPO. Okay, how does that fix the smudge?
Well, the core idea is simple. Stop drawing pixels. Instead, predict the meaning or the abstract representation of the future. Don't predict what it will look like, predict what will happen.
Okay, I think I need an analogy for that one.
Think about Jupiter. If you want to predict Jupiter's orbit for the next 100 years, you only need six numbers: its position and its velocity.
Oh, right.
You don't need to calculate the chemical makeup of every single cloud in its atmosphere to know where it's going. GP does that. It filters out the noise of reality.
That makes total sense. It's like trying to summarize a suspense novel, right?
And you mean?
Like, imagine trying to summarize the plot by memorizing the exact font and the ink color of every single letter on the page.
Oh, right. Instead of just learning who the killer is.
Exactly. One is capturing data, the other is capturing meaning. And we actually saw this in action, didn't we? Back in June 2025.
Yeah, with VGPay 2. His former team at Metafair released it. They fed the model 1 million hours of raw video. No text prompts, no human labels.
You just watch TV, basically.
Basically. And to test it, they used methods from Jean Piaget, the infant psychologist.
Wait, they tested an AI the way you test a baby.
Yes. They showed the AI a video of a ball rolling behind a screen and then just disappearing.
So a physics-breaking illusion.
Right. And when the AI saw that, its internal system registered a massive surprise error signal. It had learned object permanence just by observing the world.
Wow. But wait, let me push back on this a little. If the machine isn't forced to draw the actual seam, what stops it from taking a shortcut?
Shortcut.
Yeah, couldn't the AI just lazily predict, I don't know, nothing happens every single time, just a
Right.
blank abstract state so it's never mathematically wrong?
Ah, okay, so that is a real issue. It's called representation collapse. If the AI decides the safest guess is just a static blank state, it obviously learns nothing.
So how do they stop that?
LeCun's team engineered these strict mathematical constraints using energy-based models. Basically, they built a cost function that actively pushes incorrect predictions apart.
Okay, so penalizing it for being lazy.
Exactly. If you map two visibly different realities to the same flat, lazy state, the energy function spikes. The AI gets a terrible score.
So it's forced to maintain distinct memories of different scenes.
Right, it has to capture that true fuzziness of human anticipation.
Man, once you prove an AI can learn gravity like a baby does, that idea is going to become contagious.
Oh, it was a virus. By the spring of 2026, LeCun's sort of solitary rebellion turned into a massive global movement.
Yeah, I remember the ARPSIV database was just flooded with JEPA-based papers. It totally jumped from his mind to the broader scientific community. Even his old team at Metafair kept running with it.
And then LeCun took it a step further in May 2026. He published a paper using a tool called Lean4.
Which is a machine verification tool, right?
Yes, it's a theorem prover. It verifies math with absolute certainty. And he used it to try and mathematically prove that JEPA perfectly captures hidden physical variables.
Why was that so important?
Because for 30 years, critics have called neural networks alchemy. They said it was just unscientific rule of thumb guesswork. LeCun wanted to prove the mechanics were mathematically sound.
It's kind of like an intuitive chef, right? Someone who has just cooked by taste for 30 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly they publish this rigorous peer-reviewed chemistry paper explaining exactly at a molecular level why their soup tastes so good.
That is a perfect way to put it. He brought the receipts. And by July 2026 at the ICML conference in Seoul, you had AMI Labs Pascal Fung giving a keynote to like 15,000 researchers.
She used that great soccer analogy, didn't she?
She did. She pointed out that a professional soccer player doesn't use text to calculate a ball's trajectory. Their body just intuitively grasps the physical world model instantly.
Right, in a fraction of a second. Mm-hmm. But let's be fair to the other side here for a minute. Because in 2026, LLMs were still doing incredible things. They're passing bar exams. They're writing complex code. Is Lacan being too stubborn? Like, is it possible that language actually is a sufficient shortcut to intelligence?
Well, the tech press definitely asked that same question.
Yeah.
They were cautious, noting the gap between, you know, theoretical math proofs and real-world benchmark performance.
Right, because LLMs are undeniably useful.
They are. But Lacan's stance is that language is just a highly compressed, low-bandwidth medium.
Low bandwidth? What does he mean by that?
Think about a living room. If I describe a living room to you in a sentence, I strip out millions of data points. The exact lighting, the friction of the rug, the structural integrity of the coffee table.
You compress reality into a few words.
Exactly. And Lacan insists that because language strips out all that foundational physical reality, it can never lead to true, robust intelligence. Not the kind that operates outside a screen anyway.
Which brings us directly to the future of robotics. Because this debate isn't just academic. It dictates physical AI.
Oh, entirely.
Yeah.
Lacan was super blunt about this at Brown University. He called current AI terrible.
I mean, he's got a point. You have a machine that has read the entire internet, but it still can't clear a dining room table.
Right. And that disconnect actually has a formal name. Moravec's paradox.
What's that?
It's this observation from the 80s. Basically, what is super hard for humans, like calculus or the bar exam, is really easy for machines.
Right. ChatGPT can do that in seconds.
But what's incredibly easy for humans, like walking or catching a ball, is almost impossibly hard for machines.
We see this all the time. Like the juice puzzle.
Oh, right. Tell them about the juice puzzle.
So if you ask an LLM a logic test about, say, mixing cranberry and grape juice, it might confidently hallucinate a totally wrong answer because it doesn't understand fluid dynamics.
It just guesses the next most likely word.
Exactly. But a cat, which has zero language skills, can map a 3D room perfectly and jump onto a shelf without knocking a glass over. Toddlers literally beat ChatGPT at physics.
They do. And that physical understanding is why world models are so crucial. By mid-2026, we started seeing drones being trained entirely in simulation using these world models.
Just flying around in a digital space.
Yeah. But then they took them out and they successfully flew in the real world. They call it sim-to-real transfer.
That is wild.
The AI learned the physics in the simulation so well that its intuition transferred seamlessly to reality.
And the stakes for getting this right in physical reality are so much higher.
Oh, infinitely higher.
Like, think about it. If a chatbot hallucinates a historical fact on your screen, it's a minor error. You're misinformed for a minute.
Right.
But if a robot hallucinates the location of a glass, it shatters it. If a self-driving car makes a physics error, that is fatal.
The real world doesn't forgive mistakes. And that unforgiving reality is actually why Lacan radically diverges from his peers on the whole AI doom thing.
Right, Geoffrey Hinton and Yoshua Bengio, the other godfathers of AI.
Yeah, they won the Turing Award together. Mm-hmm. But Hinton and Bengio become terrified of existential doom. They fear these machines might wipe us out.
And Lacan just dismisses that entirely, doesn't he?
Completely. Mm-hmm. He argues it's absurd to fear a machine taking over the world when it literally has less common sense than a house cat.
So what is he worried about then?
He's warning about an economic bubble bursting. He thinks the whole industry is dangerously overinvested in LLMs.
Okay, but wait. Let me just pause there. He's warning about an AI financial bubble, but he just took $1 billion from investors. Isn't that a huge contradiction?
It sounds like one, for sure. But his point is about the monoculture of the investment.
Ah, everyone betting on the same horse.
Exactly. If every single dollar is betting on LLMs, and right, LLMs inevitably hit a wall in physical robotics, the whole industry collapses.
So AMI Labs is like a safety valve.
Yes. It's a completely different path. He's ensuring that when the current paradigm runs out of steam, we have a backup plan based on actual physical understanding.
You know, it's funny. We spend so much time like Think about the pure subconscious genius your brain uses just to walk down a crowded sidewalk.
Well, without bumping into anyone?
Exactly. You are running a flawless, real-time physical simulation that a trillion-dollar data center currently cannot replicate.
It really puts things in perspective. We spent the last few years mesmerized by machines that can talk.
Yeah, we confuse eloquence with intelligence.
We do. But Jan LeCun's journey really reminds us that the deepest form of intelligence doesn't speak. It observes. It anticipates. It understands the physical consequences of the world.
So true. The next time you see a child knock over a block tower or a cat judge a jump to a windowsill, take a moment to really respect the sheer computational miracle happening in their minds.
They're running world models that the brightest engineers in Paris and Silicon Valley are spending billions to mimic.
It's incredible. And it brings to mind this final thought, building on LeCun's famous bird feather analogy.
Oh, the flying machine analogy.
Right. For centuries, people tried to build flying machines by gluing feathers to their arms, just mimicking the surface of nature. But we only achieved actual flight when we stopped copying feathers and started understanding aerodynamics.
The underlying laws.
Exactly. If LeCun is right, forcing AI to mimic human language is just gluing feathers to a machine.
We're just captivated by the illusion of it.
But what if the first true physical artificial intelligence doesn't think in words at all? What if, when it finally wakes up and truly understands the universe, it has absolutely nothing to say to us,